guns and ammunition. And then they came back to me and asked me if I would help them, the citizens' police. And I said, well, I'll have to get permission from my boss to join you. But if I can get permission, what time do you want me there? He said, by 2 o'clock. And he said, what do you need? He says, first of all, have you got a shotgun? And I said, yes, but I have plenty of ammunition for that. I said, I've also got an automatic pistol, which I do not have ammunition for. He said, what caliber do you need? I'll go get it for you, which he proceeded to do. So we went there prepared to go down at the picket line armed. Then, before we went to the picket line, everybody gathered at the city, what was on the city hall. And before we left, they picked up all of our guns and tagged them and issued nightsticks to us. So we went down on the picket line, and we got there shortly before the afternoon shift was supposed to go to work. And the roads were blocked with cars at the picket line. We marched within a block of the picket line and stopped, and the chief of police walked down there to try to ask them peacefully to open up the line so the cars could get through that wanted to go. And they picked him up and was going to throw him in the river. By that, the signal was given for us to advance and break up the line using tear gas, which we fired, and then moved down there. And as soon as they started to move out of that tear gas, we started attacking them. And all the cars that were lined up along the road, breaking, holding back the traffic. It was on Elm Avenue. We just pushed over into the river. And then we proceeded to disperse the rest of the crowd. And from there on, the picket line was kept open for traffic, going and coming with no trouble. We were stationed on the picket line. The only time we were relieved for time for meals, and then we divided it up into shifts so some of us could rest. And we had a trailer down there with straw in it that we could crawl up into to rest when we weren't on duty. But they would transport us possibly 6 or 8 at a time to restaurants for our meals until about the second week when they opened up the cafeteria to us at the steel mill. So we went down there to eat. And that went on, and then on the Sunday, after the picket line was broken, of course, is the day that Walter Reuther was coming to town and holding a big rally over by where the water tower was, which was about a mile away. They were very much concerned that they may try to come in by water or by land. On that particular day, all traffic was stopped coming into Monroe in search because we uncovered people with weapons in their cars, and hiding things in their trunks that could be used in a riot. And we just turned all the cars around and directed them back out of town. And then the National Guard was called in the afternoon when Reuther was going to be there, and they took over the patrolling so none of the Reuther's people could get over to where we were.
They were all out at, was it Sterling State Park?
Well, it wasn't called Sterling State Park at that time, but it was the start of it. And that's where the water tower was. But it was a short distance away. And that is about what happened on the picket line during those two-week period. And during, you asked me, the next question was, describe Monroe during the week or so when the citizens were armed. Well, everybody in Monroe was, of course, was quite alarmed about what had been going on. They did not want that strike to continue because a majority had voted against the strike. And that is why it was decided to honor the majority, because the group that was on this picket line that was causing all the trouble could be described as the rougher element of a group of steel workers. And they were patrolling the city of Monroe. Whenever they caught one of the people that had served as assistant police by themselves, they proceeded to attack them. So, of course, there was that kind of tension in the city. And once we found out what was going on, we did not move about the city unless we were armed. As a matter of fact, after that first day, when they saw what happened, they reissued all of our arms to us. So we were armed from then on. And did the strike have any lasting impact on the city of Monroe? Well, during the time of the strike, Of course, we had all the paper mills operating. We had what we called Floral City Furnace Company operating in the city of Monroe. We had Monroe Auto Equipment operating. We had Lazy Boy Chair. And the only impact on the city was that, after all, that the city had done for the Duna Steel Mill, shortly thereafter, they decided to close up the plant and pull out.
You think that was the reason they pulled out?
I think they pulled out for that reason, because they knew that they were not going to organize this plant in Monroe. And the union was strong in Ohio, and they had control of the plant in Ohio, so the work was transferred back to Ohio. This is where Newton Steel come from to begin with, in Newton Falls, Ohio.
Did most of the people that took place in the strike, were they from Newton Falls?
Most of them were from Newton Falls, right. Because it was, as I said, it was a rough element. Yeah. Steel workers are rough people normally. I mean, to be working around those hot furnaces, you know. But and I found that those people were very short-tempered as individuals. They could pick a fight for nothing. And that was my experience. And I had, as far as your pictures or written material, I have nothing of that. All the time that this was going on, of course, I was preoccupied. And after 2 weeks, of course, I had to leave the picket line to go back to my work. And then after it was all said and done, the city honored everybody that had been a civilian policeman with a little certificate of appreciation. And that has been lost somewhere. And I asked my wife the other day, she knew where it was, because my Navy discharge papers and so forth, they're all with that same little thing.
Oh yeah, and you can't find those either.
Can't find my discharges, no.
Isn't that something every time you move you have to lose something,
yeah, that's
don't
true.
You?
So that is all I can tell you on that strike.
Did you know like Mayor Nagg?
Oh yes,
Fisher?
Yes, very good friends. They were the ones that approached me to help them. And Roy Butler, that led the Citizens Police, was a personal friend of mine. There were several former members of the National Guard in that group of Citizens Police.
Now, if I understand correctly, Jess Fisher used to be the head guard at the front.
No, Jess Fisher was the chief of police in Monroe.
I realize it, but was he the head guard before that?
No, he was chief of police in Monroe for years before the steel mill ever came here.
Okay, I guess I misunderstood about that then. Do you think most of the people were, you know, really against the CIO, or were they just against it because
Well, basically what had happened, before Ruther had come to Monroe, they had had a rally, so-called rally down in Indiana. And during that rally, there was trouble there, and the union people, Ruther's people, had killed a person down there. And that is why we were prepared for it, the way we were. We knew that once they got here, that it was going to turn into most anything. Fortunately, there was nobody shot or injured during this thing. I mean, injured by gunfire.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of his name. Mr. McDonald, did you know?
I did not know anybody inside of the plant. Outside of my brother who worked there.
Do you remember anything about when he was chased out of town? Or
McDonald?
Yeah, Leonidas. Okay.
No, after I left the picket line, that was the last I had to do.
Yeah.
As I say, my brother was employed at the steel mill. And he was on the line with me. He was on the line at the same time I was. As a matter of fact, we were on the front of the line because he had one of the tear gas guns.
This is nice that you got this all filled out. I thought I was going to have to do this.
Well, as I said, I didn't fill out the last two parts down there.
Well, that's okay. Well, I thank you
You're entirely
very
welcome.
Much for your time.